The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
It's movie time. Brian Lloyd, movies editor of entertainment.ie, is with us, and we will be previewing the Oscars in just a few moments' time. But before we do that, there's only one major release this week, and this movie, Origin. Is this a slightly odd movie?
It is, definitely. It's based in part on Cast, which is this book that was written by Isabel Wilkerson. She was the first African-American woman to be nominated and to win the Pulitzer Prize. And essentially the book is this sort of, it's a non-fiction book, but it's basically about how racism, bigotry can be traced back through the ages to the caste system, and then brings it forward to like the India and the Dalit system, which was like this untouchable caste that was in India.
So this is a documentary.
You would think that, wouldn't you, by that description? But then in the middle of it, then it has a sort of a biopic about Isabel Wilkerson herself, which is the fact that she was an African-American woman married to a white man, worked in academia, which was famously kind of, you know, very much white-oriented, white-dominated. And then on top of that as well, dealing with, you know, Trayvon Martin, that this book was written in the shadow of all that and the Black Lives Matter protests with George Floyd and so on and so forth. So it's really a film that I guess is biting off way more than it can chew. And when you're watching it, as noble as the effort is, as ambitious as it all is, and how it does kind of keep all these plates spinning, I was watching it and I thought they should have just made this into a documentary, because the person who made this, Ava DuVernay, I mean, she's done, I would say, she's done good work in both documentaries and in kind of fictional films, or at least narrative films. Like she did, for example, Selma, if you recall that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with Martin Luther King, yeah. And she also did another series called When They See Us, which was on Netflix, which was about the Central Park Five. And then...
That was very good.
Very, very good. And then there was a documentary, if you recall, 13th. Do you remember that?
No.
It was about it's brilliant. You should watch it. It's on Netflix. It's all about the prison system in America and how it basically just has completely targeted the African-American community. And she has a real sense of like history and place and everything else. And like the film has recreations of it. For example, there's one scene or one sort of recreation of you like, it takes about like 15 minutes, where it discusses August Landmesser, who was believed to be the person in that famous picture of the dock workers in Nazi Germany. And everyone is given a salute except for one man. And as the story transpires, he was a German man who was married to a Jewish woman and then subsequently left the Nazi party in the wake of the Nuremberg laws and tried to flee the country. So it's basically the idea of like, these are two white people, but how is it that, you know, there is racism when it's racism against two white people, and it explores it. Again, it goes back to caste. It's good. It's just, it feels...
It's grand.
It's just, it felt as I was watching, it was like, I would love this if it was a documentary. I would love this if it was a film on its own. Trying to marry the two together, it's just biting off more than I can chew.
Okay, let's talk about Oscars night next Sunday night. Actually, it's Monday morning, really, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, the red carpet starts at like 12 o'clock. The ceremony begins... our time, 1 o'clock, I think, like that. So
I think it's about 3 o'clock, which suggests you could possibly...
What's that later? I don't think it's that later.
That's what my notes say. And then suggests you already get up and watch Cillian Murphy collecting...
Oh, yeah, no, he's going to win it. I mean, if you want to...
Did you know he's from Cork, by the way?
You know, I hadn't heard that.
Just in case you didn't know, he's not just Irish, he's from Cork.
And you know what? I'm going to say this now. You people are not going to let us forget that. I swear to God, when he wins this on Sunday...
That's a very pejorative term, you people.
You people, I mean Corkonians, okay? Is there never... Munster, then, if you want to be even broader about it.
No, Cork.
Cork, yeah. Yeah. You're never going to let us forget it. You'll be reminding us. I was talking to Fionnuala Jones, the writer, Fionnuala Jones. She's like... We're never going to let anybody forget this, that Cillian Murphy won
from Cork.
And he's from Cork. Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I got it. Okay. And where does he live, by the way? Where does he live?
Well, like a
lot
of...
He lives in Monkstown. He lives in Monkstown.
Like a lot of good Cork people, by economic necessity and other reasons, we've had to live outside of Cork.
So why don't you stay there then? Why are you coming here? Like, stay there.
Well, if we want to transfer to the FM down to Cork, it can be done. Let's have a clip from Oppenheimer featuring Cork's Cillian Murphy and Robert Downey Jr. I have no idea where he's from.
Thanks for convening a short notice.
I can't believe it. Well, here we are.
This is an atomic test.
The Russians have a bomb. We're supposed to be years ahead of them, but... What were you guys doing in Los Alamos? And
how many people were in these open discussions?
Too many. Compartmentalization was supposed to be the protocol.
We were in a race against the Nazis. So now the race is against the Soviets.
Not unless we started.
Robert, they just fired the starting gun. They detonated.
Data indicates it may have been a plutonium implosion device.
Like the one you built at Los Alamos.
So yeah. A Christopher Nolan movie that it was possible to follow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, in fairness, Dunkirk was possible to follow
well,
as well.
Dunkirk, well, I mean, okay, I would say, like, you know, I personally think he should have been nominated, and I think he should have won for Dunkirk. I thought Dunkirk was incredible. In fact, if I was to stack Dunkirk and Oppenheimer together, I would actually put Dunkirk ahead of it because I feel that Dunkirk just had more kind of... There was more... I feel like more emotions going on in it. Like, I mean, Oppenheimer felt like it was one part this psychological horror, one part this kind of... I guess like a law room... like or sorry, a courtroom drama yeah. kind of thing, you know? And it just... they did it all very, very well. I'm not suggesting they didn't, but I just feel that Dunkirk felt more kind of smoother, I guess.
Okay, so you're expecting Oppenheimer to sweep up.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
Cillian Murphy to win Best Actor, because he's won everything coming up onto this. Uh-huh. Robert Downey Jr.
Best Supporting Actor, 100%.
I thought his performance was extraordinary in Oppenheimer. Yeah, he was absolutely great. Christopher Nolan, Best Director, given that Greta Gerwig's not in there for Barbie.
Yeah, I mean... I think this is... I mean, again, this is what I'm saying. I think he should have been nominated for Dunkirk and he should have won for Dunkirk, but this will be the one that will sort of fix it up.
But could it be that it wins nearly everything except Best Movie?
It's happened. I mean,
has it?
I mean, yeah.
How could you win the Best Actor, Best Director, Best Supporting Actor...
It's happened plenty.
...and not win the Best Movie?
I'll give you one. In the last 12 years, it's only happened once where Best Actor and Best Picture was won by the same movie. That was Jean Dujardin for The Artist. So the combinations can be quite different. That being said... I think given the level of upset that there has been over Barbie being kind of roundly snubbed, it wouldn't surprise me. And it's an outside shot. It really is an outside shot. I think the odds of it winning are right now, I think, are about 25-30 to 1. If Barbie was to win Best Picture, I wouldn't be upset. I think it would be a reaction, maybe an overreaction to what's happening with Barbie, but... I think Oppenheimer, that's safe money as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, now there are, let's talk about some of the other movies in there. So let's get a clip of Lily Gladstone, who is the favourite to win Best Actress, and Leonardo DiCaprio, who didn't even get a nomination for Best Actor, from Killers of the Flower Moon.
He told me he was going with Matt Williams for a time.
You talk too much.
No, I don't talk too much. Thinking who I got to beat in this horse race, that's all.
I didn't realize this was a race. I don't care for watching horses.
Well, I'm a different kind of horse.
Hong Fashi. Shomikasi Sheko Shiajimi.
What was that?
Shomikasi. That's how you are.
I don't know what she said, but it must have been Indian for handsome devil.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought Robert De Niro was the star of Killers.
So did I. Yeah.
He thought he was absolutely brilliant. And if it wasn't for Robert Downey Jr., I think he should get Best Supporting Actor. I thought Leonardo DiCaprio was worth a nomination as actor. Yeah.
I
liked him in it. I thought he was good in what he did. But is Lily Gladstone... performance, is that good enough to win Best Actress?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean,
do you not think Emma Stone in Poor Things was an absolutely brilliant feat of acting?
It was. It absolutely was. And I think if there was justice in the world, Emma Stone would probably win it. I think Lily Gladstone, I think, represents the emotional core of that big, huge epic that is Killers of the Flower Moon. And you have to remember as well, Oscar voters, I mean, they remember in the sense of like, well, she won for La La Land and, you know, that sort of thing. So, like, they don't like to kind of do it again necessarily.
Mr. Meryl Streep has collected loads, though.
Yeah, but she's only... But again, like, I mean, how many times has she been nominated? Like, 20-odd times, like, and she's only won, like, 4, I want to say. So, like, it's not necessarily... Like, you can't really attach logic or any kind of justice to Oscar voting, because some people that have been nominated should never have been nominated, and some people who should be nominated never do get nominated.
Okay, I loved Poor Things.
Yeah, me too. No, I do.
Wonderful movie.
And I think
and it's got 11 nominations, and Ed Gein was in for the Culture Club a fortnight ago. Is Poor Things going to win some of the lesser awards if it's not going to win Best Movie?
It would probably, I wouldn't be surprised if Robbie Ryan won for Best Cinematography, because Poor Things is a film that is very much about the visual language of it. How gorgeous.
Yeah,
just
done.
It just seeps out of the screen. It's absolutely incredible. And I mean, I know it's going to be on Disney Plus in the next couple of weeks, but I would encourage people to go see it in the cinema while you can, because it just jumps out at you. So yeah, I could see Robbie Ryan getting Best Cinematography for that, which would be great. He's a brilliant cinematographer. The work he's done over the years is really stands up.
And there's another movie which I loved, and there's a possibility here of Oscars. Yeah. That's The Holdovers. Let's hear Divine Joy Randolph and Paul Giamatti in The Holdovers.
I heard you got stuck with babysitting duty this year. How'd you manage that?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose I failed someone who richly deserved it.
Oh, the Oz good kid? Yeah, he was a real asshole. Rich and dumb, popular combination around here.
It's a plague. And you? You'll be here too?
All by my lonesome. My little sister Peggy and her husband invited me to go visit them in Roxbury, but I feel like it's too soon. Like Curtis will think that I'm abandoning him, you know? This is the last place that my baby and I were together. Not including the bus station. Mm.
Well, I look forward to your fine cooking.
Oh, no, no, don't do that. All we've got is whatever's in that walk-in. No new deliveries till January.
Mm. Paul Giamatti is a possibility for the best
actor. It's a two-horse race between Cillian Murphy and Paul Giamatti for best actor. Now, I'm not just saying this. Cillian Murphy does have it locked up. I don't think there's going to be any kind of upset here.
Because Giamatti wasn't stretching himself, perhaps, in the way that Cillian Murphy was.
That's the thing, yeah.
I mean, it was a sort of almost a Paul Giamatti performance.
Oh, no, that role was written for him, hook, line, and sinker. Now, Christopher Nolan would argue that Oppenheimer was written for Cillian Murphy as well. But I think there's more of a transformation involved with Cillian Murphy's performance as opposed to Paul Giamatti's performance, because he always does play those kind of like crotchety, angry kind of people, like Sideways, for example.
What I mean? Or even Billions on television.
Billions on top of that as well. But Divine Joy Randolph for Best Supporting Actress, that's a lock. You can put money on that. She's absolutely going to win that. And richly deserves to win it as well. Her performance in that, I mean, she was standing toe-to-toe with Paul Giamatti in that film, and she held every scene that she was in.
And what about The Zone of Interest? That was Ed Gein's choice. He loved that as a movie.
Yeah, and it's interesting as well, because I saw a piece, I think it was in The Guardian or might have been New York Magazine, I can't remember, but one of them basically pitched the idea that Zone of Interest should win Best Picture. Now, I think that's a really outside choice. I think it's certainly going to win Best International Feature, and again, richly deserved it. It is a horrifying film. It is the kind of film that you will walk away from it sick to your stomach, and you'll be thinking about it for days, if not weeks afterwards. I can see why Ed Gein recommended it, because it is one of those films that really just sticks in your mind for weeks afterwards. But I do think Oppenheimer is the clear favourite to win Best Picture. The Zone of Interest will win Best International Feature, and rightly so.
Okay, we will leave it there. Brian Lloyd, movies editor of entertainment.ie, thank you very much for being with us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.